Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5:30. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, over 1,000 people are hit by power cuts in North Donegal. Gardaí are seeking the public's assistance in locating a teenager missing from Letterkenny. The students' union at the ATU's Donegal campus in Letterkenny says the rent-a-room scheme launched last year was a significant success and they're hoping for a significant uptake again this year. We'll hear from the deputy president of the students' union there. The number of Donegal doctors on the general medical card scheme fell by one between 2020 and 2025 and Gardaí released the final details of their bank holiday weekend roads operation. Later on, Kieran Cannon is here with Sports News. That's coming up at around about 6:15. But we begin with power cuts in more than 1,300 homes and businesses across Donegal are without power this evening due to a number of faults. In Letterkenny, 1,180 premises are affected by a major fault on the Cullion supply line, with power expected to be restored there shortly. A further 149 premises in North Donegal have no power. Outages are affecting Buncrana and Moville. A number of homes and businesses should be connected at this point in Buncrana. The remaining properties in Moville potentially face a wait until 7 o'clock this evening. Gardaí are seeking the public's help in locating a teenager missing from Letterkenny. Elisabetta Miloshu was reported missing on Sunday. She was last seen on Monday at 5:25 in the evening in Donegal town. She was wearing white runners, a black hoodie and black leggings, and was carrying a small Coach handbag. The 17-year-old is approximately 5'3" in height, of medium build, with dark brown hair and brown eyes. Gardaí say they are concerned for her well-being. The students' union at the ATU's Letterkenny campus says the rent-a-room scheme launched last year was a significant success and they're hoping for a significant uptake again this year. It comes as the comparison website switcher.ie once again names Letterkenny as Ireland's cheapest student town in 2026. Sligo came in second. The comparison says students in Letterkenny spend an average of €1,285 a month. That equates, they say, to almost €6,000 per year less than studying in Dublin, the most expensive student town in the country. Joseph Sweeney is deputy president of the students' union at ATU Letterkenny. He says with the numbers attending the campus continuing to increase, demand for accommodation is increasing as well.
We ran a very, very successful rent-a-room campaign last year. We had a great turnout from Letterkenny and you know, Donegal community as a whole. You know, at one point we had, you know, over 700 beds listed on our accommodation site that, you know, that students can contact. But you know, there's always an increasing demand because just the increase in numbers, you know, cost of living crisis is not getting any better. So, you know, I suppose we're really relying on that point in terms of the Donegal community to offer those bed spaces to students.
In an ideal world, I suppose more long-term student accommodation is preferable. There are plans to build more long-term student accommodation within Letterkenny, and I suppose the sooner those plans are realised and that accommodation is built, the better.
Absolutely. Look, I suppose we're in the same boat with a lot of technological universities, in that, you know, the university are very restricted in terms of building our own purpose-built student accommodation. And so, yeah, I suppose any plans from sort of local providers and things like that to build that student accommodation is more than welcomed. And of course, we're open to working with anybody looking at them sort of plans in the near future. But the demand has to be met from somewhere. At the moment, it is from people in the community looking to take students in, looking to build. But until we get sufficient government support, essentially, for allowing TUs and ATU, as an example, to build that purpose-built student accommodation, this is where we're getting our accommodation from, which is, you know, brilliant from the community to have that sort of turnout, but there can be more that can be done.
And that was Joseph Sweeney, the deputy president of the students' union at the ATU Letterkenny campus. You can see more detail on those switcher.ie figures on our website, highlandradio.com. No injuries have been reported following a collision between a car and a bike in Letterkenny this morning. The incident occurred on the Polestar roundabout at approximately 8 o'clock. Meanwhile, police in Derry are appealing for information after a child was knocked down by an e-scooter in the Shantallow area of the city on Sunday night. It left the child with injuries to the leg, hand, arm and face. The young man riding the e-scooter ran to get help and apologised to the child and their parent, but police say he left the scene without providing his details. Two motorists were caught driving at more than 40 kilometres an hour over the speed limit in Donegal during the August bank holiday weekend's road policing operation. One driver was detected at 159 kilometres an hour in a 100 kilometre an hour zone in the Newton Cunningham area, while another was recorded at 123 kilometres an hour in an 80 zone near Muff. Nationally, more than 5,000 drivers were caught speeding over the bank holiday weekend. A total of 188 people were arrested for drink or drug driving offences, 17 of them in Donegal. More than 350 motorists were detected using a mobile phone, and over 100 were caught not wearing seatbelts. Two people lost their lives on the country's roads over the weekend, including Ronan King from Armagh, who was fatally injured in a collision in Pettigo on Sunday. There's a renewed focus on GP numbers across the country following the release of figures by Sinn Féin's health spokesperson today. The figures show that in Donegal, 94 doctors were contracted under the HSE's General Medical Services Scheme in December of 2020. That figure fell by 1 to 93 at the end of last year. The number of non-GMS doctors in Donegal increased from 2 to 8 over the same period. Well, on today's Greg Hughes Show, Deputy Cullinan said measures must be taken to attract more GPs, particularly into rural areas like Donegal.
The first starting point is that we increase training places. So currently we train about 350 GP trainees every year. Unfortunately, not all of those will come into general practice. Many will leave the country. Some will go into other disciplines of medicine. What's shifting as well in terms of a trend is that young trainee GPs want a better work-life balance. They don't want to be working 70 or 80 hours a week, and many of them don't want to come out and essentially become business people, having to manage a practice, manage staff, and that's what they have to do. And that's why I have also called for the option of a public contract, a public GP contract, where you can have GPs working for the HSE, treating patients and not having to have that option of having to run a busy practice. There's also issues about how we value GPs, and there are issues in rural communities. If you live in a rural community or if you work in a rural community as a GP, it's a big geographical area. You might find it difficult to get locum support. It can be very often an area where a higher age demographic, you have more complex care. There is a review underway at the moment in relation to general practice, and I would hope that it would look at all of those issues. So obviously expanding training places, looking at greater incentives to attract more GPs to come in, trainees to come in and become GPs, particularly in the public system, but also in rural areas, and maybe pilot projects that can attract more trainees into rural areas. Mm. Look at the incentives, look at how we better value GPs, and then appreciate that that work-life balance and greater flexibility is something that all employees want, and GPs are no different.
And that was Deputy David Cullinan. Meanwhile, the Irish College of GPs is warning 600 general practitioners could retire in the next 3 years. The medical director of the college, Dr. Dermot Quillen, says GP numbers are rising, but not quickly enough. He says we need to keep up with the demands of the population.
We are recruiting internationally to bring in experienced GPs, but we are playing a very substantial catch-up, and we still have and will have for several years to come a significant GP workforce shortage.
Just returning to one of our earlier stories, and we've had an update from the ESB. The vast majority of people affected by a power outage on the Cullion supply scheme have now had their power restored within the past few minutes. A number of homes and businesses may still be without power. A number of homes and businesses also have had their power restored in North Inishowen in the Ballymacarry area outside Buncrana. There are now 16 customers affected. It's expected they will have their power restored shortly. And further north toward Moville, 74 customers affected there. 7 o'clock this evening, still the projected time for those faults to be rectified. Secondary schools are asking for an average of €128 in voluntary contributions each year. A new survey by Barnardos found that figure rises to almost €200 per pupil when payment requests for classroom resources are taken into account. The children's charity says parents with primary school children say they're being asked for an average of €130 to cover voluntary contributions and resources. Meanwhile, the average cost of a primary school uniform is €125, rising to an average of €203 for secondary school. The survey also found only 3 in 10 primary schools and less than 1 in 10 secondary schools offer an affordable uniform option. The National Policy Manager of Barnardos, Stephen Moffat, told Highland Radio News that affordable options should be available across all schools.
I think one of the things that we would say is the government needs to look at this as a whole. What are the costs? What are the serious pressures we're happy to engage with and have indeed engaged with the department many times and really think about how do they reduce costs? One measure which is looking at potential tax relief for certain items or expanding, you know, back to school clothing, footwear allowance. But also what they need to think about is, you know, putting further pressure and taking specific measures to make sure that all schools look at the costs they're making parents spend every summer and really think about how can they reduce some of those costs, make everything as affordable as possible, because that actually would drive costs down. It's the quickest way to drive costs down if schools individually do the right thing, try to make sure that, you know, not just back to school costs that we're seeing at this time of year, but also throughout the school year. So that's when they're deciding on school tours, school trips, extracurricular activities, that sort of things, that they're looking at more affordable options wherever possible.
Meanwhile, the Public Expenditure Minister has been defending the government's actions on back-to-school costs. Jack Chambers was reacting to the concerns expressed both by Barnardos and St Vincent de Paul about the pressure on parents at this time of year. He said there will be cost of living supports more generally in the budget to help parents.
Look, over the last number of years, we've introduced free school books, many children with free school meals through the school year. So we've had significant interventions by government supporting the affordability of families going to school. And look, it's the wider measures in the context of the budget that I've described. How do we give people back something, in, for example, in 2027 in terms of their income tax package to help with the cost of going to school?
Over 100 admitted patients were without beds across the northwest this morning, according to figures released by the INMO. 52 were waiting at Letterkenny University Hospital, one more than yesterday, making it the fifth most overcrowded hospital in the state today. Yesterday, the HSE urged the public to use all available care options due to the pressure the emergency department at LUH was under. Sligo University Hospital had the third highest amount of patients without a bed today at 55.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, home to a full range of Gaelic gloves designed for comfort, grip and performance. Shop now at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 6:15. Good evening, Kieran Cannon.
Thank you very much, Donald. We will begin this bulletin with soccer. Derry City have confirmed that they have parted ways with manager Tiernan Lynch. Lynch joined the club from Irish League side Larne in November 2024. Derry City currently sit sixth in the Premier Division and have recorded just one win in their last seven games in all competitions. Director of Football at the Brandywell, Mark Connolly, will take over as interim boss and will be in the dugout for Friday night's home match against Sligo Rovers at the Brandywell. Gianni Infantino has held crisis talks with key FIFA staff today in Morocco as uncertainty grows over his future as president. A number of confederations say that they have lost confidence in FIFA leadership over the now cancelled plans to sell stakes in the World Cup. Infantino is attempting to rally support for his re-election bid at next year's Congress, which will take place at Rabat. Turkish club Trabzonspor will confirm the signing of Mohamed Salah. He emerged from the airport in Istanbul this afternoon wearing the club colours. The 34-year-old forward left Liverpool at the end of last season after 9 years on Merseyside. He scored 257 goals for the club. Arsenal have agreed a deal to sign Bruno Guimaraes from Newcastle. Newcastle. The Magpies captain is set to leave St James's Park for a reported fee of £75 million. In the meantime, Arsenal are in Dublin this evening. They're playing a pre-season friendly against La Liga side Real Betis. A kick-off at the Aviva Stadium is at 7:30. Some key players are with Arsenal today, the likes of Gabriel and Martinelli returning for pre-season. That's after their post-World Cup break. Celtic manager Martin O'Neill is in hospital after undergoing what the club is calling a small procedure. There are no further details of the 74-year-old's operation, and he is expected to be released in the next day or two. O'Neill signed a one-year deal in June to become the permanent manager of the club after two interim spells last season, which ended with a Premiership and a Scottish Cup double. The Northern Ireland Football League season will begin as scheduled this coming weekend after three proposals put forward by the NIFL were approved at the EGM on Tuesday night. The three proposals could have held up the start of the season had the meeting not taken place. A 75% vote from the clubs was met for the proposals to be passed. The Irish League season gets up and running on Friday night with the NIFL Championship meeting of newly promoted Strabane and Institute, while the top flight's first game, they'll see the likes of Cliftonville taking on Crusaders. To cricket now, today's match between Ireland and Pakistan at Bridi was abandoned because of the weather, without a ball being bowled. It was the opening match of five in an ODI series between the two nations. Underfoot conditions and incoming rain meant that play was not possible. The sides will be back on Friday for the second ODI at the Bridi. To golf now, four more big names have been confirmed for the Irish Open at Doonbeg. Patrick Reed, Rob McIntyre, Francesco Molinari and Sepp Straka will all play at the tournament next month. They're going to join defending champion Rory McIlroy and previous winners Shane Lowry and Patrick Harrington at the DP World Tour event. US President Donald Trump, who owns the venue for this year's edition, is set to visit the course during the tournament. And finally, to racing. There's a 7-race card in Sligo, which just got underway a short time ago. Donegal jockeys Dylan Brown McMonagall, Patrick McGerrigan and Luke McAteer have all rides there this evening. Back to you, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kieran. Let's turn back to the ESB for a moment, and the ESB have told us that power has been restored to those people in the Cullion area. That has happened. However, there are now just over 230 customers in Kilcar without power. They're likely to be without power until around about 7:30 this evening, and there are still in the region of 74 customers in the North Inishowen area around about Moville, still without power 7 o'clock, the projected restoration time there. It was a busy bank holiday weekend for Aaron Moore on LI. They responded to four call-outs over the course of 4 days at the bank holiday weekend. Three of the incidents involved medical evacuations, with patients transported from the island to the mainland. With more, here's Tara Duggan.
On Friday at 2 a.m, Malin Head Coast Guard requested assistance from crews for a medical evacuation from the island to a waiting ambulance in Burtonport, which would take the patients on to Letterkenny University Hospital for assessment. Early Saturday at 7:30 a.m, a report of persons in a dinghy was received by crews. However, the Coast Guard reported that the dinghy arrived safely on shore, resulting in crews being stood down. Two incidents were recorded on Monday, first at 11:22 a.m, when Malin Head Coast Guard called for assistance on a medical evacuation. Later the same day at 9:57 p.m, a second medical evacuation was also requested. Both patients were transferred onto ambulances at Burtonport to be taken to LUH. Coxswain Kieran O'Donnell wished the casualties a speedy recovery and thanked crews for answering calls, whatever the time, day or night.
A crowd of demonstrators carrying Republican flags protested at Bishop Street in Derry as a man appeared before Derry Magistrates Court this morning. The teenager is charged with wearing a T-shirt purporting to show support for a proscribed organisation, mainly the INLA. With more, Here's Ryan Brawley.
18-year-old Christopher Dillon of Rinmire Drive, Derry, faced one charge of wearing a T-shirt with INLA on it, suggesting he supported or was a member of a proscribed organisation on July the 12th of this year. A police officer connected the accused to the charge. Dillon was released on bail on the condition he observe a curfew from 8 p.m. until 6 a.m., does not enter the Fountain Estate or the walls, and does not go within 100 metres of any police operation, parade or protest. He will appear again on September the 2nd.
Met Éireann has released its latest monthly climate report, showing last month was the second highest July since 1900. However, the weather station at Malin Head in Donegal recorded the lowest mean temperatures for the month and also the lowest daily average sunshine figures. Donna Marie Doherty has more.
July was one of the sunniest months on record for Ireland, with a daily mean of 10.72 hours of sunshine. However, the lowest mean figure recorded at Malin Head in Donegal was 4.31 hours per day. Conversely, the highest amount of sunshine recorded at a weather station in one day was 15.8 hours, recorded at Malin Head on Tuesday the 14th. The national mean temperature for the month was 17.25 degrees Celsius, which has only ever been topped by the mean temperature for July of 2013 of 17.34 degrees. The lowest temperature for the month at a single station was 15.1 degrees, again recorded at Malin Head.
And the forecast for this evening, a mix of cloud and sunny spells for the rest of today, some scattered showers, blustery for a time with moderate fresh and gusty west and northwest winds, strong at times in coastal areas. They'll ease as the evening goes on. Tonight, a mix of cloud and clear spells with scattered showers becoming more isolated. Lows of 8 to 11 in light to moderate westerly winds. Tomorrow, Thursday, mostly dry with spells of sunshine, hazy at times, some isolated showers as well. Highs of 15 to 17 in light to moderate westerly winds, possibly fresh at times along the coast. The main stories: almost 1,500 people were hit by power cuts in North Donegal over the course of the evening. Just over 1,000 have had their power restored in the Letterkenny area, served by the Cullion supply. At the moment, there are 283 customers without power in the Kilcar area, 7:30, the estimated restoration time there, and 74 in the vicinity of Moville, with an estimated restoration time of 7. Gardaí are seeking the public's assistance in locating a teenager missing from Letterkenny. Elisabetta Miloshu was reported missing on Sunday, last seen on Monday at 25 past 5 in Donegal town. And the Students' Union in Letterkenny is seeking more participants in the rent-a-room scheme this year. They say last year's was a big success. They're hoping for a significant uptake this year. Back with news again at 7 o'clock. Check all the day's news, of course, on highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening.
The obituary notices this Wednesday evening, August 5th. The death has occurred of Willie Doherty, John Ned, Ballysalla, Kilkenny Mallon. Willie's remains will repose at Eamon McLaughlin's funeral home, Station Road, Carrigdonagh, this evening from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock, and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 3 o'clock and 5 p.m. until 9 p.m. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10 o'clock. For 10:30, Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Ochaclay, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Beech Hill Manor Nursing Home, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Oliver Breen, 104 Antrim Road, Belfast, and formerly of Portadown, Armagh, reposing in Ard's Creasla until 10 o'clock this evening with rosary at 9. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creasla, tomorrow at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on mcn.live. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Aidan McCallum, Innisfree, Greenham Park, Buncrana, reposing at his residence. Leaving there tomorrow at 11 a.m, going to private cremation. Wake strictly private to close family and friends by wishes of the deceased. The death has occurred of Nora Shovlin at Nate McBrearty, Bavin, Kilcar, aged 106. Reposing at her late residence until rosary at 9 this evening, and again tomorrow from 12 noon until rosary at 9 o'clock. House private after the rosary each night, please. Removal at her home on Friday to arrive at St. Cartha's Church for funeral mass at 12 noon, followed by burial in the local cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Nora's funeral mass can be viewed on mcn.live. The death has taken place of Cathy Murray, Fernleigh Moyle, Hill Road, Milford. Requiem Mass on Friday at 11 o'clock in St Peter's Church, Milford. Burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Liam Grant, Clarendon Manor, Derry, late of Gollan Hill, Fawn and Buncrana. Liam's remains are reposing at the family home in Fawn. Removal from there tomorrow at 5:45, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for reception prayers at 6:30. Requiem Mass will take place on Friday afternoon at 3:00, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Mary's Meals, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Nora McGuigan, née Doherty of Murlog Downings, reposing at her home. Shuttle bus running from the GAA Centre Downings with house private, please, after the rosary at 9:00. Requiem Mass will be held tomorrow at St John the Baptist Church, Carrigart, at 11:00. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Meva Day Centre or care of any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.